Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Well, good morning, everyone in the room, online. Great to see you. So today is part three of our series, More Than a Song, where we're looking at the whole area of worship. So let us circle back with a very quick recap. So in part one of our series, we learned that we are priestly people. Yes, that as followers of Jesus, we come to Christ and then we come together stone to stone. Remember that, everyone? Fantastic. Our worship is therefore personal, plural, and purposeful. Then in part two, last week, we focused on present power. And we learned that God's presence is both omnipresent and manifest. That God doesn't arrive, he in fact reveals himself. We looked at God's presence in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and now in his church, and we learn that his power is for a purpose. Who's glad it's for a purpose? It's not for goosebumps, it's for a purpose. So Pastor Dave, last week, present power, gave us some homework. Now, time of truth. Firstly, I wonder who captured this homework, if you wrote it down, popped it in your phones. If you didn't, there's probably a huge chance that you totally forgot about this homework. But anyway, I have faith that many of you did capture this. So this was our homework. Awaken your expectations over these next 7 days. Be aware more of his presence. Align with his will and agree together with others in prayer. So 1 minute. Turn to someone next to you. Don't lie. You're in church with God's people. Stones to stones aren't lying. But share, did you do any of that? If it's a yes, which bit? If you didn't, why didn't you do it? Do you need to write a few more bits down today? Possibly. So, 1 minute. Come on, let the stones share together the homework. So if you weren't here or you didn't do it, maybe share one of those things you'd love to dip your toe in and explore a little more. Okay. So give me a wave if you did do any of the homework. Just give me a wave. Give me a wave. A few. Well done. Okay, so who totally forgot? Who was like, huh? What homework? Come on. We can be. Yeah, Nisha, what homework? Yeah. Who just didn't even capture it? So who's just like, didn't even get it? Wasn't even listening? Come on. There's a few of us, but no one's coughing up. Okay, so maybe we can sharpen up from this week. But moving on today, so our message today is called Prepared Purity. This is our part three of More Than a Song. And our big idea is this. Worship flows from a heart that is ready and right before God. I wonder if we can quickly say this together. Worship flows from a heart that is ready and right before God. So, question for us. What does a right heart before God look like? Okay, as always, we go straight to the Bible. That is where we root all of our beliefs, our foundation. So today, we're just going to go to one passage for the sake of time that we're really going to zoom in on. So come with me. We are going to go to Psalm 24, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. I encourage you, Give me a wave if you've got your physical paper Bible with you. That is wonderful. Well done, you people. Please follow me in there. I encourage all of you, bring your Bible. But it's on my phone, Pastor Leanne. Yes, but guess what? So are all your text messages, WhatsApps, social media links. We get the point. Paper Bible, always the one. So here we go. Psalm 24, verses 1 to 5. I wonder, can you stand with me? And let us read this out loud together, shall we? Verses 1 to 5. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the waters and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Thanks be to God. Grab your seats. We thank God for his word. So Psalm 24 is a psalm of King David. King David was an incredible king in the Old Testament, one of the greatest, not perfect, but he genuinely loved the Lord. And some believe that Psalm 24 was sung as the Ark of the Covenant entered Jerusalem. That's captured in 2 Samuel 6. During the reign of King David, some believe that it would certainly fit a time frame. But that's something interesting to take away. Maybe do your own writing on that. But imagine, if it were true, the Ark of the Covenant, and they're singing this Psalm 24. And verse 1, if we can just have that on the screen, thank you, Adetola. Verse 1 and 2 are magnifying God. King David is declaring that God owns everything, including the fullness of the earth. But then verse 3 is a shift. It goes from declaring to questioning. David asks a question twice. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Now, we see a Hebraic pattern that in Hebrew, when they wanted to emphasize something, they'd ask the question twice. So David is really wanting to capture our attention, to let this question root inside of us. In other words, David is asking, who can have right standing with God? Who can come near to where God is? This is a powerful question. You see, in our world, you and me here, plenty of questions like, how can I be happy? How can I be rich? How can I be more successful? How can I be more popular on my social media? We can hear so many questions, and none of those questions are bad. But I want to suggest that the most important question that you can ask yourself and that you can even suggest to others is, How can I be right with God? How can I, Leanne Bolton, come close to God? Because when all is said and done, the rich, the famous, the poor, and the in-between, we're all going to leave this earth. And the only question that matters, let's have Psalm 24 on again, I believe is this one. How can I have right standing with God? How can I come near to God? I want to encourage all of us, learn as a Christ follower to ask questions. When you're reading scripture, learn to ask questions. I heard a sad fact recently that many young people, those even brought up in the church, when they go to uni or they go into their 20s, many of them can fall away, and the reason is because they don't have a rooted foundation of their faith. They've not asked the questions that are necessary and therefore got the answers and the response, so that when someone else asks them the question, why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you think your faith is the only way to heaven? If they've never asked the question and they haven't got the answers, then their faith can feel intimidated, shaken, and for some of them, they hang their boots up and say, it was good when I was a kid because it sort of made sense, but right now, I've got too many questions that haven't been answered. So come on, be a Christ follower that asks the questions. David was a king at this point. He'd got so much other things to think about, but he was still asking the important questions. How can I be right with God? How can I come near to God? He could have said, listen, I've got no time for these questions now. I'm king. I've got X, Y, and Z. But no, be a questioner like King David. Yeah, it's part of your spiritual formation. Parents, let's help our children, our teens, with questions. So they've got real founded, rooted, theological answers so that they can stand on their own two feet and they can know what their faith is all about. And so David asks these questions, and then verse 4, he answers his own question. He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. If worship flows from a heart that is right and ready, then a right heart must keep clean. A right heart must keep clean. Let's have that up for those that are taking notes. So clean hands represents our actions. It's the things that you and I do. This is what David is referring to as clean hands. And a pure heart represents our intentions and our motives. Now, one, actions is very visible. Motives and intentions are much more invisible. Interesting. We'll come on to that a little bit more in a moment. David did not respond by saying, I tell you who can come near to God. It's the clever. It's the schooled. It's the rich. It's the beautiful. It's those that have got a lot of answers to their questions. It's those that are gathered. No, David doesn't say any of that. David says those who can come near to God are those with clean hands, good actions, and a pure heart, good intentions and motives. You see, David knew that God rules the earth on a moral foundation. If you want to come closer, you need to be cleaner. If you want to come closer, you need to be cleaner. We can't do with our hands, with our actions, what we want and expect to rock up on a Sunday and come close to God. It doesn't work like that. We can't have an evil, filthy heart with wrong intentions and wrong motives and expect to come into God's presence and hear his voice and encounter him. It doesn't work like that. God will not be mocked. God builds his earth on moral foundations. And David knew that. He knew, you want to come closer, you need to be cleaner. I want to ask each one of us, me included in this, how have your actions been lately? Look at your hands. Look at your hands, everyone. Thank God for these hands. How have the actions of these hands been lately? Have they been attributing, helping you to have a clean heart? Or have the actions of your hands been jeopardizing you having clean hands and a clean heart? You see, the conduct of our life, our actions and our hearts are a reflection of our relationship with Christ. Nothing is isolated. Everything is connected. You see, otherwise, religion would say, will put God in a box. So I come to church on a Sunday, so this is my Sunday box, where I come and I worship God, listen to the message, have a cup of tea, and then Monday to Saturday, okay, I've filed that box on the shelf until another 7 days, and so the rest of the 6 days, I'm going to do what I like with my hands, with my actions. I'm going to let any old motive and intention form in my heart. Oh, it's Sunday. Let's get the box down. Here we go. And sadly, that's how some of us may be tempted to live. But actually, a relationship with Jesus means surrendering everything. Every action with a hand, every intention and motive of your heart, it means surrendering everything to Jesus. He doesn't want any box. He wants the whole of you. All your actions, the whole of your heart, seeking him in purity. Doesn't Matthew 5 verse 16 say this? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works or actions and glorify your Father in heaven. Are your actions glorifying God? The way you speak matters. The actions you take Monday through to Saturday and Sunday matter. It's the same hands that you do actions with Monday to Saturday that you raise in worship on a Sunday. We don't get a different pair of hands out the Sunday box. It's the same hands. So Leanne, how have your hands been Monday to Saturday? Because you're raising them to Jesus on Sunday as we worship. Same hands. Everything. Everything. Clean hands. A pure heart. This affects everything. This affects every single area. You text on your phone with the same hands that you lift in worship. How's your phone been this week? How's your fingers been? What messages, what things have you been looking at and scrolling through with your thumb? Because it's the same hands you're lifting in worship. This is no condemnation, but we've got to face it. We've got challenges they didn't have 50 years ago. And if I were the devil, I'd use your phone as probably my number one distraction, my number one gateway to sin. Yeah? Same hands are scrolling, texting. That we're lifting up in worship. You get my point? You see, I want to suggest this thought. Some things may be permissible, but may not be sensible. I'm going to say that again. Some things may be permissible, but they may not be sensible. Give an example. No one is going to come round your house and arrest you if you're watching the TV at 1 a.m. It's permissible. You can do it tonight if you want. But is it sensible? Is it sensible? From many points of view, are you going to be exhausted the next morning, number one? Yeah, probably. I would be dead. Number two. Is there going to be a greater level of temptation with what's on the channels and access at 1 a.m. opposed to 1 p.m. in the afternoon? It's permissible, but it might not be sensible. The Apostle Paul says it like this. Wow, and they didn't even have iPhones in these days. All things are lawful for me. But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any. Yeah. What's the things that are permissible that you are doing? Actions with your hands, allowing to go into your heart that are permissible, but they're not sensible. They're just not sensible. You're under the power even of some of these things that are permissible, but how are they affecting your hands, clean hands? How are they affecting pure heart before Jesus. Okay, so clean hands, and then let us quickly move on to pure heart. David, as I've said, is referring to our intentions and our motives. Ooh, how clean are the motives and intentions of your heart? Are they on track? You see, we can start a project, we can start a venture of our life with all the right intentions, all the right motives, and somehow we get off track. The intentions and the motives once were great, and now they've gone ski-whiffed. They need aligning by the Spirit again. Maybe there's a motive and intention of your heart, which even now the Spirit's bringing it to memory, and you know it's not great. I'd be embarrassed if they showed it on the screen right now. In fact, I don't tell anybody else about that motive of my heart because it's not a good one. I'm not proud of it. See, this is difficult because, as I said, this is invisible. I haven't met anyone, and at first, their intentions and motives seem good, seem honourable. And then as time goes on, you realise the intention and motive of their heart, what they say, is not really lining up. The intention and motive of their heart is not clean and it's not pure. And that can hurt. That can be difficult. Because our heart is hidden, but not to God. Not to God. He sees everything. So, hey, let me save you a bit of time. Don't try and play any guessing games with God or say he can't see it. He doesn't know I'm thinking it. He sees you like an open book, and me as well. So we might as well sort out the heart and ask him, because he sees it anyway. But I want to say, despair not. Because some of us right now might be thinking, Leanne, to be quite honest, my hands are pretty filthy. My heart's a bit dark and a bit of a mess. And there's a lot of intention and motives that shouldn't be there, but they are there. And I want to say, don't despair, because Jesus, the only one that ever walked this earth with pure, clean hands and a pure heart, he's the one that died for you. He shed his blood for you. He came back to life 3 days later, and by his Spirit, he wants to forgive you, and he wants to help you go on a journey, a pilgrimage where day by day, he's going to help clean those hands. He's going to help clean that heart. So listen, you might be feeling like, I am millions of miles away from clean hands and pure heart. I want to say welcome, because there's hope. There's hope that Jesus wants to help you, and he can wash us, he can clean us. For some of you, that might be the first time today, the first time where you consider, do I want to invite this Jesus into my life to clean my hands, to clean my heart? For some of us, we need to come back again and say, I've messed up. I've messed up. Spirit of God, will you help me? There is always hope. A right heart must keep checking. As David goes on, he talks about clean hands, pure heart. And then he says, one who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully. Let's look at the sworn deceitfully first, very quickly. So this means deceptive promises. Ever said something and deep down you know you don't mean it? You're not going to deliver. I'll see you there. No, you won't. You know you're not going there. Ever put a spin on it? There were 10 people. There were 50 people, but there were actually 10 in reality. David here is even warning us, hey, don't even be deceitful, even a little bit, even a tinge, even a spin. It's deceitful. And then not lifted up his soul to an idol. An idol is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in our life. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. When we give our lives to Christ, our spirit, right, spirit and soul, we give our lives to Christ and our spirit comes alive to Christ. Yeah? But our soul, on the other hand, our mind, will, and emotions are often raging with the spirit. They are battling. You need to go to the prayer gathering at church, says your spirit, because it's good for you. And your soul pipes up, I am shattered. Have you seen the amount of stuff you've got to do at home? Like, they won't even know. Yeah, is it just me? Or is your spirit and soul raging all the time, over everything, constantly? It's okay. You're in good company. It happens to all of us. And that's why the Bible teaches about it. But David, he's saying here, come on. We need to say to our soul, we need to declare to our spirit that we're not going to serve any idols. Idols can take the form of many different things. Making money can become an idol. Having a relationship, getting married, having kids can become an idol. Your family can become an idol. Okay, some of these things aren't bad. They're not sport, can become an idol. They're not bad. But they become bad when they take the number one place. Yeah? When they take the number one place, that's when they become an idol. And rather than your worship to God, to Yahweh, it's to this other thing. And God is, he's down there somewhere. And God says, no, I'm a jealous God. I'm number one or I'm nothing. He's a jealous God. And King David is saying, come on, let's not lift up our soul to an idol. A question for all of us. What idols might there be in your life right now? And how lifted up is your soul to that idol? Because a lift has levels. Some of you, your soul might be slightly lifted to an idol. This could be a bit of a warning trigger. Hey, don't lift up anymore. Stop where you are. Recognize what's going on. For some of you, our soul may be a little more lifted up. That's okay. We've got to go on a journey of sanctification. Sanctification means allowing the work of the Spirit to make us more like Jesus and make us holy, and that's okay. But I want to suggest that the greatest place to start is to become aware. What might be the idols in my life? What's one thing that you can do to loosen the hook of the idol on your soul? Because things get a hook in your soul. Things get a hook in your mind, your will, and your emotion. But the Spirit will give you wisdom. You can loosen that hook by X, Y, Z. And then, guess what? It's over to you. Oh, God's not going to do it for us. And neither can Pastor Dave. It's over to you. But you can do it with the power of the Spirit. So, a right heart must keep clean. A right heart must keep checking. And finally, what makes a ready heart? We spoke about a right heart, but what does a ready heart look like? Hey, one day I'd love us to have a big sign on our entrance that says this: there are no accidental saints. I didn't make that up. It's too good for me to make up. There are no accidental saints. Yeah? Because a ready heart is a heart that is purposeful and intentional. So three quick things as we come into land. A ready heart practices daily worship. See, worship is a lifestyle, not an event. It's not something we just do once a week on a Sunday. And if that's your approach, you will probably be really struggling. You will probably be feeling limp and probably be feeling not very passionate about worship is a lifestyle, not an event. So how can you make it more a lifestyle? Really simple things. Many of you are probably already doing these things. If so, well done. How can you scale it up? If some of you are not doing any of these things, choose one thing that you can do the next week. Why not saturate your home, your space, your car, just with a great worship playlist, some songs of praise, some songs of worship, because they will go into your subconsciousness, even when you don't realize it. I went to see Jeff recently, and Jeff, you keep having the beautiful Premier Radio on, don't you? There he is, humming away. He's constantly got it on. That's how to do it. It's going in. So saturate when you're cooking, when you're cleaning, when you're driving, when you just put the music on. Music is powerful. It's powerful. Quick story. A pastor recently, a young lady came to him. Pastor, I keep dating losers. They're losers. And so, okay, this is interesting. And he said to her, okay, what music is on in your car? So she told him the music, and she was like, Pastor, I don't think you heard me properly. I keep dating losers, but you're asking me about what music I listen to. And when they deep dived into it, she was listening to all sorts of lyrics that were just actually spiritually forming her without her knowing. And she was going after all the wrong guys and all the wrong types because the music was getting into her spirit and even causing her at that level to make foolish mistakes. Saturate yourself with wonderful music. Why not just speak, sing in tongues as much as you can, round the house, round the park. Yeah, okay. I found myself the other day getting wraps from Aldi, and I caught myself singing praise out loud. And then I had to stop people, and I thought, actually, no, because it was just happening so naturally that I was just humming and singing praise. Just sing. Some of you, you've been filled with the Spirit. Stir it up. Stir it up. Speak in tongues. Sing in tongues. Come on. At home. Every day. 5 minutes. Every day. 5 minutes. Okay. And watch over those motives and intentions. Because actually, that's worship. When you keep a pure heart, that's part of your daily worship. That thought is wrong. I am not going to allow that to control my motives. I'm dealing with it right now and I'm casting it out. That's you daily worshipping. Daily worshipping. And then, secondly, a ready heart practices regular confession. Keep short accounts of the Lord. Yeah. Tomorrow, let's say, you mess it up. You know that those hands aren't clean with what you've done. And that heart's not pure either with what you've done, said, released. Keep short accounts of the Lord. Just talk to him. Lord, I've messed up. Forgive me, please. Spirit, help me. Show me how I can do different, how I can do better. Keep short accounts. What that does is it's a way of you worshiping God, saying, I'm not going to let things block my spirit. I'm not going to let things hold me down. For some of you, okay, you may find it helpful to even confess to one another. Yeah? I'm not saying confess to the whole church, but you may have one or two friends that you share with them. Hey, I've messed it up. Some of the words has been coming out of my mouth the last few days, they're not good. Can you pray for me? Can you help me? And you confess to one another. Something I've started doing recently, taking communion at home. I love it together. But I need to do it at home a lot by myself, Leanne. Make it a daily practice. It's worship. Take communion, you with the Lord at home. And then third and finally, A ready heart practices purposeful preparation. I want us to turn this now to our Sunday gathering as we finish. Okay. And I want to encourage each of us now to go to the next level in our purposeful preparation for when we gather. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, first of all, I want to encourage us, get here before 10:30. Why? So your bottom can be on a seat, you've took a deep breath, you've faffed around with your bottles or your tissues or whatever it is, you put your phone on silent, you've had a bit of a wiggle in your chair, and you're ready. At 10:30, there were 40 people present today, which is a better number than many weeks at 10:30. At 10:50, there were 68 people present. Were you part of the 40 or the 68? You know, don't worry. Nisha will not get the register out on this occasion. Seriously, can I say and ask any band member, ask any ministry leader, when we stand here at 10:30 with a half full or worse, a third full room, and we say, good morning, we're ready to worship. It's so discouraging when there's a few people and there's many shuffling in with their bags late. Okay. Let's be a team together that are prepared, that are saying, come on, you know what it's like. You're in a better state of mind when you're on time or early. Yeah? That's just life. You talk to any coaching expert, they'll tell you that. So let's come on time, ready, okay? I want to encourage you as well, when you get here, put your phone on silent and put it away. Put it away, because you could come and at 10:29, you could read a message on your phone which takes you into a different headspace for the entire morning. Something's broke, something's in trouble, someone's not happy with you, and suddenly, your body is on a green chair. Your mind is checked out because you're problem solving. How am I going to manage that person? How am I going to manage that situation when I get out of here? And if I were the devil, I'd send you one of those messages at 10:29. So let's just wise up. Let's get a bit savvy. Yeah? So I encourage you, get in, put it on silent and say the world can wait until 12 o'clock. If it's a real emergency, they'll come find you here. They will. They'll come find you and we'll usher them in. We're being purposeful. There's no accidental saints. We're being purposeful. Really quick, bring a Bible and notebook. Yeah. Let's imagine you are a CEO of a successful company and you've got a team of candidates. You want to appoint a new team. You will be looking around that room. Who's prepared? Who's taking notes? Who's capturing? Who's paying attention? I want to suggest that God is doing the same with us. That even here, he's looking. Who's leaning in? Who's got the word, the Bible, so they can dive in and double reference something? Who's taking notes? They can go home and reread it and let it... Everything's prophetic. Some of us say, I want to do more things for you, God. We'll just bring your notebook and Bible to church as a starter, and then we'll go from there. And you'll be surprised at what he does next. Sit near the front. I know it's not everyone's preference. I know some of you love the back, and I know for some of you there's genuine reasons, and that is fine. But it helps us so much when these front seats are more full. Because it's that sense of unity. You don't have to be special to sit on the first, second. Just come on down. Just fill them up. And then finally, imagine if we all came here every Sunday with ready heart, with right hearts and ready hearts. And we ask God, speak to me and speak through me today. and I am expecting the King of Glory to come in. Because when you're at home, go read the rest of Psalm 24. It talks about the King of Glory coming in. And I believe, church, if we go on a journey of saying, I want a right heart, I'm going to pursue a right heart, I want a ready heart, then I believe that the King of Glory is going to come in. He's going to manifest himself with us like we've not seen before. And so right now, I'm done. We're just going to have a time of just where we're going to continue in our sung worship. And during our first song, Friday is going to be standing just over there, because I felt the Lord say that for some of us, we might need a moment of confession as we worship. Going back to the clean hands and pure heart, maybe the stuff that you just need to confess, you and God, you need to say sorry for. And even as taking communion, you're saying, I'm drawing a line and I'm stepping over the line, and today is a new day. And there's no other better way that we can do that as we remember his death, his resurrection. So if you want to take communion by yourself, feel very free to do that. And the rest of us, we are just going to worship. So thank you, team, as they come and minister right now.